paling punya. Hati ini rasa macam gelisah, mau reka tapi tak kok ada yang marah. Siyo Tuhan kalau tak ada yang punya, tolong kasih jodoh kita rendia. Siyo Tuhan kalau tak ada yang punya, kita siap susah sana mendia.
Jakarta. Here is Voice of Indonesia with Indonesia Today. News, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. Only on Indonesia Today.
Voice of Indonesia with Newsline. The 2+2 meeting between Indonesia and Australia will strengthen bilateral partnership in strategic issues, including regional stability and global dynamics. Indonesia's Foreign Minister Sugiono has stated in the opening of the meeting, according his statement issued on Thursday. The meeting brought together Minister Sugiono and Defense Minister Shafri Shamsuddin with their Australian counterparts, Foreign Minister Penny Wong and Deputy Prime Minister, Defense Minister Richard Marles. Moving on to Indonesia's Ministry of Forestry that has officially launched Operasi Merah Putih, a Javan rhino translocation program to protect the critically endangered species. Forestry Minister Raja Antoni, speaking at a launch event in Jakarta today, he said the program aims to secure the future of the Javan rhino through a collaborative conservation effort. The initiative involves all key stakeholders to ensure long-term survival of this rare endemic animal. That was Newsline from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. It's 3 p.m. Western Indonesia time, or GMT+7. It means Indonesia Today is airing not only on voinews.id and RRI Digital, but also on RRI Net, on UCTV, or the website rri.co.id. Still with me, Rahma, in the program. Presented by Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia. We'll be presenting various interesting programs from all over Indonesia and also VOI Talk. So what issue that we'll be talking about? Stay tuned in the program Indonesia Today.
angin malam halangi tenang tidurku. Seribu baju pengantin malam kini menari di kantor lemari.
dan berita membuka cakrawala. Semua bertaut udara di gelombang semesta. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia. Katulistiwa kita kabarkan berita membuka cakrawala. Semua bertaut udara di gelombang semesta. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. VOI listeners and viewers, through its abundant marine natural resources, the archipelagic country Indonesia has great potential to become a major aquaculture business player, not only here at home but also globally. So on this VOI talk, we'll be talking about strategic and sustainable aquaculture development in Indonesia with the Director General of Aquaculture at the Indonesian Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, Mr. Tubagus Hairu Rahayu. Good afternoon, Pak Hairu. Thank you for joining us on VOI Talk.
Good afternoon, Mbak Rahma.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Pak Hairu. So we are so curious. I would like to know how's actually the current situation and development of aquaculture in Indonesia, Pak Hairu.
Yes. First of all, Mbak Rahma, on behalf of the government, especially Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, we would like to extend our gratitude to Radio Republik Indonesia with the program Voice Talk that has been interested in taking aquaculture as the topic today. That's quite great because we believe the aquaculture for the next time, it will be one of the hot issue to provide protein supply for human being. Thank you.
You're welcome, Pak. And it's also our pleasure to bring this issue to the public here in Indonesia and, of course, worldwide. So what development or target probably from Indonesia's aquaculture?
Yeah. When we are talking about the target of the production of aquaculture, I would like to note some data here. In this year, the target for the aquaculture is about 18.39 million metric ton. That's quite huge. It is split in two parts. Fish and shrimp is about 6.75 million metric ton. And seaweed is quite huge. It's about 11.64 million ton. Based on our data, the target for this year, it is a little bit increased about 7.04% compared to last year target production of aquaculture.
And how is going on in the second quarter of 2025?
2025, we always believe and optimistic that the target can be achieved because we have already provided everything based on keep order from the regulation and then from the communication coordination between the government and the society, between government and association, between local government with us in central government. So we believe and optimistic that the target can be achieved at the end of this year.
Any specific strategies that you can elaborate to achieve the target programs?
Of course, our ministry has the certain strategic to achieve this target of aquaculture production. Mbak Rahma, there are three strategies that now are being implemented by DG of aquaculture. The first strategy is about aquaculture modeling. What does the aquaculture modeling? The modeling means that we try to build a pilot model where the government has applied the principle of the good aquaculture practices. So in aquaculture, when we are doing the aquaculture, the good aquaculture practices protocol should be completely conducted. Otherwise, the achievement will not come through. That's the first strategy. The second strategy is aquaculture revitalization. Why? As I informed to Mbak Rahma, so many idle land for the aquaculture for time being. So that is why we try to do the effort to increase the productivity of the unproductive aquaculture land into more organized and productive aquaculture area based on the best practices. That's the second strategy. And the last but not the least is we create the aquaculture villages. Yeah. So in Bahasa, we call it that's a Kampung Perikanan Budidaya. We try to build the area based on superior commodities and all local commodities, which synergies various potential of the potential to encourage the development of competitive and sustainable fish farming businesses. So based on three strategic, we believe the target of aquaculture production can be achieved, keep in order. Thank you.
And the programs themselves have been running like in all over Indonesia, or any specific focused areas in Indonesia?
When we're talking about the area, of course, Indonesia is quite big, you know, it's quite huge. It's more than 17,000 island, from Papua to Aceh. So we have already provided marine special and then coastal special for the aquaculture. So according to our data, there are almost 20 million hectares for aquaculture area to be developed in this year, next year, and next coming years.
Oh, wow. That's huge.
And
those are also the strategies to improve the quality and quantity of aquaculture production in Indonesia?
Rahma, when we discuss about the quality and quantity, this is actually our focus. From time to time, we always thinking how to improve the quality and quantity of aquaculture production. So far, DG of aquaculture has implemented several things to improve the quality and the quantity of aquaculture production. I might expand here. First, we prepare the regulation. We need the umbrella, Mbak Rahma, that's quite important. Without the umbrella, of course, it's quite difficult. There is no guideline for the people to do aquaculture. Yeah, in the regulation consists of a norm, a standard, procedure, and criteria. In Bahasa, normally we always mention NSPK as a guideline for sustainable fish farming. The second, the government always provide support in form of aquaculture facilities and infrastructure. Yes, doing aquaculture, we need a certain support from the infrastructure. Yeah, not only in the land, but of course, including in the marine land as well, they need facilities and infrastructure. And the third, what we have already implemented is we try to assist and guidance on aquaculture certification. So the farmer aquaculturist follow the good aquaculture protocol. That's quite important. So the fish farmer can follow all the regulation based on best practices. And the last but not the least, we utilize digitalization to shorten the value chain and enhance the efficiency of aquaculture production technology. This is quite important, Mbak Rahma. Why? Sometimes, you know, when the fish farmer has already produced the shrimp or the fish, sometimes from a fish farmer to the market is quite a short change, you know. So that is why we need assistance from IT by using digitalization. Thank you.
Okay, so there is the role of technology here, in this case, digitalization. Okay, and we've talked about strategies. Now, what about the challenges to run the aquaculture production and how to solve it? Do they include disease and environmental challenges or what, Pak Heru?
Yeah, so, so many challenges in aquaculture. The key issue challenges in aquaculture is about the sustainability. How to maintain the aquaculture from time to time without any failure. That's the key issue. The most sexy or the hot issue is about the disease and environmental challenges in aquaculture, you know. So to anticipate this that situation, KKP through a DG of aquaculture has established several policies, regulation, and program to control disease and environmental issue. I might mention here, let's say, in terms of disease prevention, DG of aquaculture has developed digital disease early warning, and then antimicrobial resistant control, and then disease pre-broodstock and seed program, and others program. In terms of environmental, Mbak Rahma, DG of aquaculture, try to ensure the sustainability of the aquaculture environment through an ecosystem approach to aquaculture. And then other program, integration of water carrying capacity and spatial planning and other. So according to my opinion, the government has already provided several protocol to anticipate disease, to anticipate environmental challenges, or to anticipate the other issue in aquacultures.
Okay, and we've got also a question here related to challenges from our YouTube live stream. Do you take into account climate change, which has significantly changed the target of decision makers? How would you like to elaborate this climate change issue?
Climate change, yes. Talking about the climate change, Mbak Rahma, climate change, I think, is an important factor in aquaculture. Climate change might impact on aquaculture activities. You know, we can see, we can witness so many impact of the climate change, such as rising water temperature can decrease in diazotic oxygen level and accelerate the growth of pathogenic microorganism. And then by climate change as well can be impact in the sea level rise, result in the flooding and submerged coastal form. You might see in north coastal area in Japa, you know, many fish pond in Bahasa, local Bahasa, they mention is a tambak, you know, submerged by flooding during the tidal. And then the climate change can be impact as well in a total economic loss of market opportunity and reduce competitiveness. It is really a very serious thing felt by most small-scale aquaculture fisheries. Yep.
Yes, I guess climate change has a domino effect in multi-sectors, even in aquaculture.
Yes, we believe. Yeah. We believe. May I add a little bit, Mbak Rahma,
yes,
related
sir.
To the climate change. So that is why the government, through a DG of aquaculture, try to encourage the serial of adaptation measures, yeah, to anticipate the climate change. First, we try to implementation of more efficient aquaculture technology, just to anticipate the climate change situation. And then we develop the superior seed, you know, the quality of seed is quite important. Otherwise, they could not survive with this environmental changes in quite short anyway. And then applying cropping a pattern. Look, every year, when I was still in junior high school, our dad always said, okay, during January to June, it is, we call it the hot season, you know? And then after that, it will be a rainy season. But for time being, the pattern of seasonal is could not predicted anymore. So that is why we try to anticipate by the cropping pattern. That's one of the key strategy how to anticipate the climate change in aquaculture.
Okay, and Indonesia comprises a thousands island as we know. So we and our listeners would like to know types of fish and seafood are most commonly farmed in Indonesia and how's the prospects, especially in the global market.
Yeah, yes, talking about the type of fish is quite interesting, Mbak Rahma.
Yes.
Since Indonesia are very huge with the biodiversity, you know, since our climate is quite different with others countries such as America or Europe. We are in the tropical area. So in aquaculture sectors, so many type of fish and seafood now being farmed in Indonesia. We can mention here from the freshwater commodities such as a lot of species such as catfish and then tilapia, gourame, pangasius, carp, and other local endemic. You have to be careful and remember that a local endemic is quite a good opportunity to be culture for in for the fish farmer. And in brackish water, we have shrimp, we have a milk fish, and we have a crab. And for marine commodities, we have grover, we have barramundi, we have silver pomfret, we have lobster, we have a shellfish, and we have seaweed. That's, I think, a lot of variety of aquaculture commodities. Since we realize we have a lot of variety of species can be cultivated in aquaculture, for time being, the government through DG of aquaculture focus with five commodities. We are now focusing with five species. First, we focus with the shrimp. Why? Because the shrimp market is quite a valuable thing, you know. In 1 decade, can increase about 2.1 a time in next 10 years. And then the second commodities is about the seaweed. You know, seaweed, in Bahasa we call it rumput laut. The market size of seaweed is good enough, you know. 2023, 2 years ago, is about 7.8 billion and predicted in 1 decade in the future, you know, about 19.6 billion. So you can imagine 10.5 times. And then the third focus commodity is about tilapia. Tilapia, the same like shrimp and seaweed, quite challenging, you know. Last year is about 14.5 billion, and next 10 years can be predicted about 23 billion US dollar. So it's quite amazing enough. And then number four is crab. And the last one is a lobster. Yeah. Why we choose the five commodities, Mbak Rama? Since I mentioned about the market value, we have other consideration. The technology has already fixed, you know, it is quite easy to be a culture. And then, you know, quite easy to get the fish fry as well. So market okay, technology okay, yeah, okay. Thank you.
Okay, market check, technology check as well. Now we are talking about the welfare of fish farmers and fishermen in Indonesia. What are the Director General's plans to improve their welfare?
Yeah, welfare is easy to be spoken, you know, but difficult to be.
Yeah.
But anyway, we believe by developing up of aquaculture, the fish farmer welfare can be increased in the short period. Yeah, so many effort has been completed by the minister. Yeah, through the DG of aquaculture, we provide a guidance and assistance to fish farmer to follow good aquaculture practices. That's quite important, you know, because now the total of aquaculture is about almost reach 2 million people. You can imagine, you know. So that is why we have to guide them. We have to assist them to follow the good aquaculture protocol. That's the first one. The second one, we provide assistance of aquaculture facilities and infrastructure. I have mentioned, I think, previously, we provide the good quality of seed, the good quality of the broodstock, and then we prefer fertilizer subsidized. That's quite needed by the aquaculturists. And then the third, we try to do or to strengthen about the institutional business group. In bahasa, in the local bahasa, we mention as pokdakan, kelompok pembudidaya. That's quite important. You know, Mbak Rahma, we have a lot of institutional business group, but sometimes most of them very difficult to touch certain capital management institution for financial, something like that. You know, we guide them and we facilitate them to close to a bank, to close to other financial support, and et cetera, and et cetera. And then another program to improve the welfare, we try to protect of aquaculture businesses by help them with the insurance. It's quite important. So people who are doing the aquaculture, the government try to protect them by insurance. And the last but not the least, we have more than 4,000 extension worker. You know, we ask them to assist the aquaculturists, to guide them. They can follow all the protocol based on aquaculture best practices. I think that's all the program now being developed by our ministry to improve the aquaculture's welfare.
All right, Pak Hero, hopefully the welfare of fish farmers and fishermen in Indonesia and the quality of aquaculture itself will be improving real soon as on the target. All right, Pak Tubagus Hairu Rahayu, hopefully we'll have another session, 1 hour session maybe next time, yeah, to talk deeper about this issue, agriculture here in Indonesia. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing the insight about Indonesia's aquaculture.
Thank you, Mbak Rahma. Success.
Thank you. Well, listener, that's Director General of Aquaculture at the Indonesian Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, Mr. Tubagus Hairu Rahayu, talking about strategic and sustainable aquaculture development in Indonesia. Stay tuned for more inspiring, insightful talks only on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you Bamboo Forest of Alu Village. The breeze and the rustling sound of bamboo leaves clashing will welcome you at this tourism destination. The lush of bamboo trees will protect you from sunlight. Polewali Mandar in West Sulawesi is rich of its natural tourism objects. One of them is Bamboo Forest at hinterland of Alu Village, Alu District, Polewali Mandar Regency. The 20-hectare wide Bamboo Forest area has a distance 60 kilometers from Polewali District, the capital city of Polewali Mandar Regency, and can be accessed by car or motorcycle by taking around 1.5 hours. The special atmosphere of the village in the past is still seen at the bamboo forest because there are still some gazebos, small huts, meeting room and a mosque which are made of bamboo. The use of bamboo forest as new tourism destination has begun since several years ago. Beginning from art and culture festival, it is conducted at the forest and it makes it known widely by the public. Since that time, the forest has been visited by a lot of residents for touring, camping, meeting of government activities, and also reception of wedding party. The bamboo forest is different from people's imagine if hearing the word of bamboo forest. The local people realize that big potential can improve their economy to keep taking care of the bamboo forest and to give various options for tourists who come. In the memory of tourists who come to visit the bamboo forest, they feel incomplete with some interesting spots for selfie. At some points, tourists can see water streaming which is through rocky river, combined with the sounds of bamboo leaves rubbing against one another due to the gentle breeze. Are you interested in this destination? Please come to the bamboo forest at Alu Village in Polewali Mandar, West Sulawesi Province. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
With no fear, you're taking it all. I'm dissociating, can't you see? You just leave me here trying on gravity, lying on gravity, lying on gravity. September, we constantly drifted away. You keep on ignoring me, but you wouldn't give me a reason. Then came November, thought we'd get better, but still right here waiting to start. You said you'd be there, always be acting like you care. Breaking free of the planet's orbit, you couldn't even listen. Well, I've tried a million ways, but I can't find myself connected to you. Wonder if we're back where we started, that we're just gonna end it again. I thought I could hold yours. No fear, you're taking it all for granted. I'm dissociating, can't you see? You just leave me here trying on gravity, lying on gravity, lying on gravity. Open, lying on gravity, lying on gravity, lying with no gravity.
Music, dance, art performances from Indonesia and abroad, only on The Session. Every Saturday, 9:15 Jakarta time, only on Voice of Indonesia. Fresh food. Fresh from the ocean. Cleaned and baked instantly, and served straight to your table. Inspired by its astounding nature and culture. Ready to be explored in a mouth-watering journey. Step out of your comfort zone. Experience the delightful taste of Indonesia. Enjoy familiar dishes in not-so-familiar environments. From healthy breakfasts, exotic fruit juice, to traditional brunch, lunch at the sea, many do, where eating a fare goes from day to late at night. Nice surprises. The common corn. The not-so-common fried duck. All presented in style. Exploring street food. A great way to get together for a fun time. An Indonesian favorite pastime with an endless array of local cuisine. Some spicy. Others savory.
mixed and matched to the preferences of each and every patron. Of course, Indonesia has also its own brand of fine dining. Origins are obvious, but it is the adaptation, the blending of international and local cultures that keep gourmets coming back for more. Simply serving the best of two worlds. And for the more adventurous, Indonesia is the real deal. Authentic, exotic culinary experiences, original recipes and traditional fares, prepared with much love and passion. Fusing culinary customs and ingredients. Street food is the ultimate experience. The mouth-watering journey that lifts the spirit and broadens the mind. Always with the typical friendliness of Indonesian people. Food from the heart and for the heart. Wonderful Indonesia.
Dekati diriku, namun saat aku buka pintu di hatiku, tiada lagi dirimu, kau menjauh dariku. Mengapa kini kau harus pergi di saat ku telah jatuh hati?
Atas segalanya, mengapa,
mengapa
dia tak berpihak pada cinta kita?
Oh, hingga kemarauku bersemi, izinkan aku menanti kau buka pintu hatimu kembali. Oh, sayangku tak bisa kecewa, kau buatku mati rasa, meski ku bernyawa. Di
tak bisa. Dibuat lu kecewa.
Ini